I'm just making me to be better than you now.
Okay.
send me in the future.
Okay. Just give me a second.
I want Johnny Diddy to be proud of me. Are you comfortable with that?
Yeah. No.
I think I'm gonna play down. So
should we start then?
Thank you. What do you want to talk about?
I think we should do it. I know. Who is Lucia Toledo?
Who is me? But I actually don't know who am I. That is a very complicated question, right?
It's not. Me? Like you.
Is me that thinks a lot. I will answer like not me.
You're thinking too much. Yeah.
That's why.
I'm Lucia Toledo from Cochabamba. But you should introduce yourself.
Okay, do it first.
Everybody knows me, I'm famous, Lou.
Yeah, but then, okay, how would you present me? I know, we can do that. Like, I will tell who are you, and you will tell who
okay.
I am.
Okay, no, okay, I can stand that.
Yeah, but I don't, wait, so we can have like a, because who are you?
I know,
tell
I get
so. Tell me first who you are. Who you think you are, and I will tell you who you are, and then we can.
I didn't think that through, though. Yeah, I think I'm the sexiest Nepali.
I would not say that. Yes, Frank is the sexiest Nepali I ever met.
Well, yeah, true. Like, no? You've not met many.
I've just met two Nepalese.
So? No, you've met more. Come on, like there are a few more in our...
But Anand, who else?
Anisha.
Anand, you, Anisha. Well, I'm not into girls. I cannot say. I should put my Nepali flag here. Yeah, just, you know...
Yeah, like for everyone listening, it's Lou's best friend's, like Jyoti Didi's birthday.
Yeah.
So we just had a Nepali brunch. Like Lou's Nepali brunch, Lou's take on Nepali brunch. It was lovely. Maybe I can just post a photo of that. But yeah.
Okay, so
Who is Lou?
Yes,
Lucia. Lucia Toledo is this bubbly girl from Bolivia. Like the first memory I have of you is from the modeling lecture.
Okay.
You were sweet. Like you came to talk to us. We didn't come to talk to you. Remember?
You didn't talk to me though.
No, but like you came to our group.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know who you were at that time. Like it was very, you know, like they were like, yeah, they're like sutrophores, tropical forestry, ecosystem services. And we're like, okay, we're just new here. Like, you know, I've been in Dresden for 1 week now.
Well, on that one, I also felt very lost.
Yeah. And I think like, and especially when we did the group work, like it was just like, you know, people we knew and everything. I was just like, I was hoping there'd be like, you know, a few outliers, like, you know, outcasts, like, you know, like, and then they had to like just mingle with the other group, but no. They form groups, like, we start with groups of two, but they're like, no, we'll have three because we just want to stick with our friends.
Yeah,
so, and I don't know much about you. I just know you're a girl from Bolivia. And who cooks and feeds me. But I repay you. I cook better and I feed you more.
Actually, I would say yes. You cook better than me.
Yeah,
and
I know that.
And you feed me once a week.
And you do the same, all
yes,
right?
Like, we ourselves the same.
Yeah. It's like a give and take.
Yes.
I feed you midweek, you feed me on weekends.
Ah, that's true. Yeah. Good friendship.
Yeah, like, you know, like it's... That's what our friendship has been built on. That's our foundation. Yes, you know, like, food.
Well, let me tell you, I come from the city of food. So
Cochabamba.
Yeah. Cochabamba is known for being the place, the culinary tourism in Bolivia. So
okay.
Yeah. You go there just to eat.
I'm coming, don't worry.
I'm telling you.
I'm starting to save money now. Just for that. Yeah. I have this big jar.
Man. Well, yeah. Who am I?
Yeah, it's a deep question.
It is a deep question. Well, if we say who am I based in where I born, what I study and all these.
So you just tell us about that as well, maybe.
Yeah.
Some people would be interested in
that. Yeah, so I'm from
Bolivia. Some of my friends think, like, you know, like, who's that? Like, they were telling me, who's that girl? Like, she has a lovely voice. And I'm like, nah, I have a lovelier voice.
Yeah, sure. Well, and yes, I come from Bolivia, from Cochabamba, and I'm super interested in Nepali culture.
That's I think reason. That's the reason we're friends, right?
Yes, that's the only reason Prague is my friend, I need to say.
Yeah, I still remember, like, in our, like, you know, when we first started to, like, see each other, like, every day in lectures, like, you'd be like, yeah, like, you know, I know momos, and can we make momos? And, like, remember that time you made me make momos?
I forced you.
Like, you just texted in the group saying, Prague's making momos next Tuesday. And you'd, like, remember the kitchen? Like, we just went to a stranger's kitchen.
It was my friend's
But for kitchen. All of us, it was a stranger's kitchen.
And we're then, like, the policeman came. <Yeah. laughs> That was an awesome party.
Yeah, your friend's flatmates, the musicians, yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone was, like, shit drunk, yeah.
It was fun.
It was fun.
Any Tuesday too.
On a Tuesday night. I still remember this one girl, like, at around midnight who came. No, I think it was, I don't know, maybe half an hour to midnight. And she came in and, like, with, like, this angry face saying, you know, guys, it's already midnight. You know, you should stop. And, like, and we're like, okay. And then, like, once she leaves, we're like, yeah, there's still 30 minutes to midnight. That's still party.
Yeah. Well... But the most funny thing was the policemen there. Like,
but they were really polite because I remember, like, we police coming to bad. Like parties in Rome. Like, yeah, they came to arrest you. Like, here they were like, guys, you know, like, please, like, stop now. Like, you know, close the windows. That's what they said. Yeah.
Exactly. Please close the windows.
Yeah, they're like, close the windows and do whatever.
Yeah, I remember those days when we were able to do parties.
Yeah. But then... Okay, I know why you're here, but why are you here in Germany?
Well, as you said in the introduction, I am a DAD scholar. And back in Bolivia, I study agriculture. But I think I was always curious to know, because they teach us the old school of agriculture. So basically to destroy the forest and to...
Destroy the forest,
yeah. And like to have cows or like plant crops and all these. And I was like, why? There should be another way. So I then start studying more about what is organic agriculture, and I was very into that. No one of my professors were like, into that. They were... all the school, very green generation, like,
yeah,
you know. And then I find out a German woman that she became my mentor, and she introduced me to agroforestry. So that's how I start looking more into forestry and like doing environmental restoration, and then I decided I always wanted to do a master, so that's how I applied for this DAD scholarship, and then that's how I'm here now. Wow.
So how do you get a DAD scholarship?
Yeah, no, that is another talk, Prague. I think because I already knew I wanted a scholarship.
Okay. How long did you work before
applying? I applied because I wanted to be relaxed doing it, because I was working at the same time. it took me 1 year to do all my papers, to do take my exam, English exam, but with very relaxed, you know?
So you planned it way ahead.
Yeah, way ahead. And also because to apply, you need to write a kind of proposal for your research.
Ah, so from there.
Uh-huh.
So did you write about this one, like what you're trying to do?
No, because the one I wanted to do was too controversial. I wanted to do something with coca leaves that Bolivia.
Okay.
No, system. One of the countries that produce more coca for, you know, drugs. So you cannot do a research on that because they would like just kick me out probably from this place. So yeah, but basically I submit that like 2 months ahead, you know, the
deadline.
Yeah, because I need to travel for my work. So yeah, I plan it way ahead. So, and then, yeah, so I think we will talk about this later.
Okay, I'm excited now.
Yeah, but I think because I wanted to be relaxed, I took my time.
Okay.
Yeah, so yeah, I think academically talking, that is who is Lucia. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah.
You should talk about your yoga, your meditation. Your guru as well.
No, wait. I think that is another talk, Frank. It's another Saturday.
Okay.
We together talking about this. But yeah. Yeah. Mm. But I finished with telling about me. Now tell me you. Well, I will tell first. Who is Frank?
Yeah.
Well, I think Frank, at the beginning, the first thing I can say about him is that he loves the library.
that's his first thing
because, you know,
that's very true.
The first time I met you, you just told me, oh yeah, I have been working in the library until I don't know what time in doing something with programming and blah, blah, blah. You have not sleep, I think. I'm like, okay, so.
No, yeah. I sleep well. Like, but I work, like, I enjoy, I thrive.
Well, that day you did not.
Okay, maybe.
Yeah. So, yeah, he likes, he's.
That's the first thing, yeah.
Yeah. That's the first thing when we talk about. Then, what else? He helps us a lot in everything. Mm. Not only me. That I'm
a very good person, I know. I have a special place in heaven.
But like, for example, like if someone needs help or anything, you would take the time to just explain us or, you know, send us some link to so we can understand.
Yeah, but if you don't get it by the third time, I'll just say
you're
dumb.
No, because you're still my friend and I take time to get things. So if you're still my friend, or my food is too good, or I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, you know, you're friends with me because I'm from Nepal. I don't know why I'm friends with you. I need to figure that out because I cook way better than you. You know, except for the beans we had today. That was really nice. I'm taking home all the leftovers, the beans at least.
Well,
but yeah, and why am I friends with you?
No, I'm talking about
you.
Yeah.
Okay, go on.
So yeah, what else? I think basically that is what academically talking, right? Because then.
Yeah, the library, and I help you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm smart. Can't help it, you know.
Yeah, I forgot to tell him. He thinks. Things of him.
Yeah. I think very highly of
him. No, but you know, I think that is a good skill to have.
Hmm.
Because, you know, as one of our friends, Malu, says, like, if we. In Spanish sounds better, but yeah.
Say it in Spanish.
I would not say it because I don't have the exact words. Well, but basically says that, yeah, if we were throwing flowers, there is no one throwing a flower to us. We need to throw flowers to ourselves.
Yeah.
Like something like that. Yeah, so and I think it's good. It's good to tell good things about us. or to think. At least. And then why it cannot be then true?
Yeah, you know, if you say it like more often, like it'll be true.
Yeah.
If I just go around introducing myself, I'm Pragyan, I'm smart. have you met Pragyan,
well,
the smart guy?
But actually, yeah, it will be fun because then it will be out of you know, the normal. And then, because I think people, we don't do things because we are afraid. You know, we are afraid of what they would
speak
think
for yourself.
Or they will. Well, I challenge you to go out and tell, hey, I'm Prague, the smart.
Well, right now people will just go run because of the corona thing.
But you know, like, yeah. So I think it's nice.
Yeah, but the next time I meet any of your friends, I'll do that.
I'm pretty and the smart. Like, okay.
No, I'm the smart guy. I'm the smart guy in tropical forestry.
Yeah. So yeah, that is what is Prague for me. Academic life. So
yeah. I'm Pragyan. I'm an Erasmus scholar. I get paid to study. That's what I say. Which is really nice for us too. We get paid to study. That's why I enjoy studying as well. Someone's paying me to study, so why not?
Very lucky.
Unlike you, I'm doing a double master's, you know. At the end of the, by this fall, when we graduate, I'll get 2 masters, which is super nice. I can brag about that as well. But jokes aside, what were we talking about?
Who is Prague?
I'm Pragyan. I was so full of myself. I'm like, no, you took me, you're like, he's so smart, he helps everyone. You know,
I said you help everyone. You said you are smart. Prague, please.
Okay, yeah. All right. Potato, potato, tomato, tomato, whatever. But yeah, that's about it. I think Lou said it all. You know, I don't want to add anything. What should I add? I'm from Nepal. I cook really well. I enjoy cooking and cleaning.
Look at the skills. Girls,
good.
Listen to this.
Yeah.
He will cook for you.
Like the perfect husband material.
He will clean your house. Just take him, please.
Yeah. I think, people don't realize, but, I really enjoy when someone's like, can I come over to eat? And I'm like, yeah, because I have food. I can cook. I'm really excited when people do that. I used to do that a lot in Bangor and in Rome. Not much here, because I think we had a very stressful semester. Not a stressful semester, but, just a lot of things happening. For me, at least. Yeah, and then I'm in Germany since October of last year, October 2019. I moved on the 1st of October. I flew in from Rome to Berlin. Yeah, it was really wonderful. Did I tell you about my first day in Germany?
First day?
Yeah, in Germany.
No, you did not.
So I flew in from Rome. It was early morning. I think I landed around 11. And I just had my backpack because I shipped all my suitcases. So one, Gordon shipped one from the UK because I still had stuff and left there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I shipped one from Rome. And so I just had a small backpack with me. And my cousin was coming to pick me up at the airport. And I got out of the airport, basically the terminal. And there were still cafes and everything. And everyone was drinking beer at 11 in the morning. And I was like, yes, you know.
Jeremiah.
Yeah. now I'm somewhere where I belong. Yeah, well, that was super nice.
And
I was only here, I was supposed to, my plan was to be here for 5 months and then 3 months in Ethiopia and then back for a month or two and then, I don't know, somewhere else. But now I'm just here. But it's nice, as I keep telling. I'm, for the first time in 3 years, I'm living somewhere for more than 6-7 months.
Yeah.
So that's nice. That's some stability.
Yeah, even though...
I still haven't unpacked, I still have one suitcase, fully packed and ready to, just ship home, but, wherever home is.
Yeah. Good. Yeah, I think Dresden is a good city to live.
Yeah, I enjoy biking in Dresden.
Mm-hmm. Also...
I used to enjoy going to Elba, but now I don't know why everyone's in Elba.
Yeah.
Everyone is in Elba. So now I go to the Grosser Garden because there are less people.
go to the castle, take a round, and come back. That's nice. About 20 minutes from my house. But now we're neighbors. Yeah, you know, practically neighbors. That's why
we're 2 minutes biking.
Yeah, that's super nice. Well, 1 minute to the library. The midpoint is the library.
Yeah. Cool. So that is Prague. This was me.
What do you want to talk about? Let's talk about this. How do you feel as a foreigner in Germany? Or in Europe in general? Because you lived here for nearly 2 years now.
Mm-hmm.
So, like with knowing, because you speak a bit of German, I speak, I know,
well,
zero German.
I think that as everyone will tell, like, to know the language makes you interact with people and to understand the culture much better and all that. I tried to learn German back in Bolivia, but I couldn't had much level, because once you come here you realize you really don't know anything. But and then I took 2 months of German because it's part of the DAD scholarship in Berlin. But basically when you're in Berlin you and in summer you are just drinking beer. So I think basic is to know the language, because if I would say what is my experience now, I had a lot of experience with my international friends, you know.
Okay.
Like I know more about Nepal, you know. I learned so much music about Peru because I have a friend from there that she loves music, and like from Africa countries and all these. But about Germany, I haven't had like a, I could say I did not had yet my German experience. And I think
what's the German experience
that I'm looking for?
Okay.
I think is like to sit with someone talking German basic, you know.
Yeah.
And drink a beer.
Mm.
And but only
in Oktoberfest.
Yeah, but you know, like in a German restaurant or German bar, where I will not feel I'm different, you know, because.
But you are different because you're a vegetarian in Germany.
But I mean, when I mean different is when I, you know, you go in a bar and then you realize that you are different. I am different. We are all different. But I mean, like, I cannot explain it, but I would
get
in and like feel like home.
Yeah,
and
it would be nice to like just go to a bar or a pub and then like tell the guy like, you know, which beer I want, rather than just pointing to the beer.
Exactly. And like with not any fear of, okay, I need to listen very good, or like, or you know, with like that. So that is a German experience I'm looking forward.
Mm.
And like to talk and laugh maybe from the jokes that hopefully they have. I don't know. Yeah, because we also have German friends in our class, but they are different. They're
international.
They're international.
Yeah, yeah,
they are
like
hybrids, I think.
Yeah.
Because
they're cool Germans.
Yeah, and I think they're school Germans. Like
I think we don't know them because we don't speak.
Exactly.
German.
Exactly. And, and
yeah, I feel that a lot here. Like, because, but for me, at least you knew you were here for 2 years or more, like 2.5 years.
Uh-huh.
Because you came a bit earlier for your language classes, lived in Berlin, and then moved to Dresden. But for me, I knew I was just coming here for 2 semesters.
Yeah.
And then, like, one of those semesters was my thesis semester, so I'd be away for at least 3 months, and then, you know, or even more, and then come back to just defend my thesis. But I was, like, really hoping, you know, I think, like, You only get German experience when you have German friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, who, like, maybe they invite you for dinner and then explain. Remember the Christmas dinner we had? Like, I learned a lot about, like, German Christmas traditions there.
Yeah.
Then, like, going around, like, drinking every other Glühwein in every other Christmas market here in Germany. Yeah, it would have been nice. But we're still here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, I will not go from Germany without that experience. So
That's why I think we need to like befriend some German people now. You know, just go around.
Well,
like,
first we need to learn the language.
Like you do that, you know. I'll just cook, you know. I'll bribe them with my food.
Okay.
I'll make it like very like I'll not even make it spicy. We don't want to kill them.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
But did you always think that you'd be like, you know, coming to Germany for your studies or like?
Well, I knew I wanted to do my master's. I knew I wanted to be in Europe because it was, because, okay, so if we think about like why we want to do a master's, we can have like many answers to that question, because one can be, oh yes, I want to improve my, you know, academically, professionally, and blah, blah, blah. But then you can do that in your own country, even though they say, oh, it's not the same, blah, blah, blah. But what the hell, you know? You know, we know, I know that if you really study something, whatever, you work in something, experience makes makes it, it's more heavy than like studying sometimes, if you want to be practical working. But also you can decide to just go somewhere to expand your experience, not only academically, but also like knowing places, like traveling, to know, to put a check on something. And in my case, because when I decided that I wanted to study a master's, I knew that I wanted to come to Europe because it was a place that I have never been. And I wanted my parents to know it because my mom dreamed with Italy and all these things. So I said like, yeah, I want to do it there. You know, so that's how I took also the decision to do it.
Okay.
And here in Europe in general, I love French. I wanted to learn French and to do my
I speak French. Yes.
And to do my master's there, but
yeah, it's really difficult as well, because I remember when I applied, like I initially started applying as, you know, like I had a very good job back in Nepal, and I thought like I had a 2-year contract or even more, and I thought like I'll just see the end of my contract and then start applying. But then like at the end of like, you know, just like maybe 6 months into the job, I just thought like all the applications were opening up. So I thought, let's give it a try. It'll be like a trial run. But then the amount of work you put in just for like applying to these scholarships is so much that I thought I couldn't do this all over again next year. So I put, like, I literally put all in. And I applied for everything because I didn't know where to stop. So I applied for every other program. And I remember I applied for 11 different programs. And some were backups, like, you know, like some were, like, I even applied to PU3, like the normal master's, tropical master's, like paying. Because I was like, yeah, it's 300 euros a semester. And then maybe I can just, like, you know, like, learn a bit of language, work, and then, like, you know, survive here, like, finish my master's in a couple of years. I did that as well, but yeah, at the end, I think, yeah, I got into 10 different programs.
Wow. Well, and you had that choice to pick one.
Yeah, but I think only like 5 of them were like funded. But I got into 2 Erasmus programs, and I think that was the most difficult, because, you know, like all of the others were like 2-year masters in one country and blah, blah. But Erasmus is like you move to different countries. And the other one, like, you know, I already have a background in forestry, so I was thinking if I should go broader into environmental management, because the other one was like based on that, but it was more on pollution and everything, like the specializations that were on offer. And then I think that was the moment I realized my heart still lies in forestry, and I still want to be, you know, engaged in this subject area. So I made the decision to come here. But it was also difficult to like decide, because contrary to, like, you know, I shouldn't be saying that, but like in special circumstances, we like when we applied to this program, we had to tell them which universities we'd like to go in our first year, in our second year. But like, you know, like things evolve, like you learn new things after coming here. And there was a point in early January 2019 when I was deciding if I should change my second year institution rather than coming to Dresden, I should go to Copenhagen. But that was purely based on like the city, I think, because Copenhagen like just sounded much more fancier than Dresden. But I'm really glad I'm here, because we talked about this a few days ago as well. Like, Dresden offers a lot of technical science. Yeah. And that's why I've thrived, I think. Like, you know, we learned a lot of things. Like I love statistics and, you know, like, there's so many things. I'm still building some models, like, because, and that's, like, you know, some of the things I do on the side, because whenever I'm frustrated with my thesis, I just do random stuff. I maybe apply for jobs, which I never get. Yeah. Well, I get a few interviews, but I don't think, like, it's really difficult applying for jobs at the moment when you don't have a master's degree. When they're clearly asking for a master's degree, and you can't be like, yeah, my master's degree is en route, you know. In 3 months or 4 months, I'll have my master's degree, so can you just wait?
Just give me that job.
Yeah, just give me, I'm good at it. But yeah, I think I made a very academic decision, like, moving to Dresden. Yeah. And then, like, I've never regretted that. It's been, like, we have some friends who, like, didn't enjoy as much as we did. But I really enjoyed all the study, all the modules at least.
And how you also take it.
Yeah, how you perceive. Yeah, I think I made the best out of the situation. And, you know, like, I get cheap beer, so I can't complain.
Yeah.
It's really cheap. I don't know how I'll survive in any other country if I ever live in Europe. Knowing, like, because I still remember I paid 5 to 6 euros for a good pint of beer in Rome. And I pay less than a euro here.
Wow. Yeah, man. Beer is very cheap here.
Even wine. Like, wine is cheaper in, like, in Europe and generally, but...
Yeah. So, so I think it's... Yeah, that is a experience. And everyone has a different why we are here. But I think we all look for... being better in one part, you know. Yeah.
So what are you thinking of, like, you know, after this, because we are in our final semester, the final five months.
Actually, thinking in that, like, it's kind of difficult now because of the situation we are in.
Yeah.
But also, it's uncertain even without it, because you never know.
What do you think
something
about?
Something that I learned from you, for example, is that you really plan ahead and you are, like, already like looking for jobs and things like this. And I think it's good if you are able to manage and balance that seeking with whatever you're doing now.
Yeah.
Right? And that is a good skill
to have. I'm like, you know, like, there was a time in late February when I turned down a few interviews, and because I told them, no, I'm moving, like, I know I applied for this job because I wanted to, but at that time I didn't realize I would be moving to Ethiopia for 3 months, so I can't take it now because I already have this thing. And 2 weeks later, all of that got cancelled, and that part of me was like, should I just go back and, like, talk to them saying, oh, you know, my Ethiopia thing got cancelled, can I still give the interview? But yeah, it's life, c'est la vie.
Yeah, exactly.
No, but, like, before this, like, you know, before, like, all the COVID-19 pandemic.
Yeah.
Like, you knew you were doing your thesis in Peru.
Yeah. So, and then, I was...
What were you thinking after
because
that?
Because I plan... Well, my thesis was about certification, organic certification, and a fair trade. So I was working on that also back in Bolivia, and I wanted to continue, like, looking more into the standards and, like, more deeper, because most of them are born here in Europe and Netherlands or Germany. So I wanted to work on that. And yeah, so my idea was to continue on that line. But yeah, I think now things change, so I cannot really tell. When I think...
No, but, like, for example, my plan was to come back from Ethiopia in June and then live in the south of France or something, somewhere warmer, when I was writing my thesis. And, you know, I didn't want to be in Dresden. I wanted to be somewhere south, like, just... Because, you know, I'd left my apartment. Well, I was planning to leave my apartment, and then I had the... freedom to just choose wherever I could live, because the German government is really nice and they gave me a 2-year permit, even though I'm here for 1 year. But yeah, like, you know, like, I just had, I think it's, we had the financial resources to just, like, choose a city. And then, like, for me, I was looking at south of France just because I could improve. Like, we have one of our consortium universities from there, and I know a few professors, and they're really nice. And it'd be nice, and I thought it'd be a nice way to just, like, you know, immerse in a French culture, learn, like, practice my language, mostly.
Yeah.
Hmm. But, yeah, after that, I didn't think, yeah, let's see. Well, I was hoping I could move back to Rome, but that's very uncertain now as well.
Well, everything's uncertain. And something that I wanted to really, really do, too, was to go to Nepal and India.
Ah, so, yeah, 2020, yeah. Yeah, you really wanted to go to Nepal in 2020.
Yeah, it was my thing. So it was
going It's still 2020, you know, it's still May.
But, you know, I think, who knows? But one day I will go.
Hmm.
But, yeah. But I'm not frustrated. Like, eventually I will meet more Nepalese, maybe.
Yeah, but, you know. You met the smartest and the sexiest one.
Yeah, I forgot. So then, what else?
So what do you think you've learned from this experience? Like what? This uncertain experience?
I did not finish yet, man. So let me tell you till now.
Yeah, where do I start, right?
No. I think we should talk about this in another.
Like you're just like pitching like different episodes.
It's because it's a big topic, and also in this case, I have not finished yet. But till now,
yeah,
I think something that I learned is that nothing is like, even if I think this will happen, I want this, and I blah blah blah. It might not be like as I want, and like to just let go that emotionally like attachment to whatever I want. Yeah, that is the first thing, like to not make conclusions of, you know, what I want or should happen or blah blah blah. So until now, and I try to remind me every day, like, okay, Lou, you're living here because you are like, or looking for what I would like.
And you have your plant babies. Your plant babies.
I thought you have your plant B. Well, yes, I can survive with tomatoes and
peppers.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you will be fine. Yeah, what about you? What have you learned?
Well, it'll sound a bit of a cliche, but, you know, like, life is uncertain and all of that shit. But I've also learned that, you know, things more often don't play out the way you'd want to.
Mm-hmm.
Because even in February, I was like, you know, like, planning for future, like, after this master's. And, like, you know, actually making progress towards that. But then all of that came to a halt. And I just can't do anything about it right now. But then I'm trying to move forward and trying to, yeah, at least I'm glad at least we don't have classes. You know, I couldn't do online classes, like, that would have been really boring. Like, stuck up in a room and just doing online classes. And I think I'm very grateful, like, to this society, the German society, because we were never actually in a lockdown, to be honest.
Yeah, it's true.
Like, throughout all these months, we were always free to go out and, like, you know, go to parks. And we were actually encouraged to go out.
Yeah,
so that was nice, you know, like, yeah, but I don't know what I've learned, like, nothing.
No,
like,
yet.
I think I've learned that I like to live alone, because, like, the apartment I took after moving back.
That is so selfish of you. I need to say it. Like, you know, yeah. Well,
I enjoy,
I will talk about this.
No, but, like, in one another episode, right? Like,
not another episode, when we are not recording.
No, but, like, I've actually enjoyed living alone. Like, I think I do better when I'm living alone. Like, I enjoyed living in the shared apartment as well. It was really nice. I had a very lovely, like, housemates and flatmates and we got along really well. Like, it was really nice. I used to cook there a lot as well. But then now here, I think, like I'm saying, in this situation, I enjoy living alone because that is my space.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about anybody else coming in, like, you know, using the kitchen or the bathroom or anything. Like, you know, I like it clean or I like it dirty, whatever, but whatever I like, I can do with it. So I get to make my own schedule and, like, nobody's there to, like, mess that up, at least. So I feel like at least something is under my control. So that is, like, one of the reasons I think I want to live alone.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, I'm a sad introvert guy, so I don't see any difference in my life, even with the lockdown. No, but...
Because, you know, even you are alone, maybe you also are in touch with friends.
Yeah, no, we're still friends.
Yeah, not with me that you can see me, but, like, with friends back in Nepal or in Rome or...
Yeah, we still talk regularly. Yeah, we have Zoom meetings and Zoom.
So that is nice because I think...
No, but I'm thinking in a sense, like, see, like, if you live in your own apartment, I live in my own apartment, right? And I don't see myself sharing that, at least. I'm glad that I don't have anyone else, like, I have to share that with.
But, you know, if you realize, what would happen if you would not have the option to do it? You eventually would...
C'est la vie.
Yeah. Eventually you would, like, also...
I'll be okay with that. I'll learn to be okay with that. But what I'm saying is, like, in this time, I'm glad, I'm grateful that I don't have to share my space. I have my space. Because, you know, you've seen mine. Like, I have a bigger table for my puzzle.
Uh-huh.
And that's my, like, you know, that's my... Like, when I go there and sit there and I start doing my puzzle, I don't think about work. But then I have a separate, like, work table by the window. So that's, like, my workspace. Yeah. And then I have my bed and then, you know, that's where, like, all of that. So I get to, like, you know... have all of my spaces. I don't have to have, like, you know, this is person A's space, this is person B's space. Like, this is all...
Yeah, that is all space. For you.
So that's what I like. I enjoy, like, you know, like, having friends over and everything, but...
You better say that.
No, I'm kidding. Yeah, I'm only saying that because Lou is pointing a gun. So I don't want to die.
But, yeah... Yeah, that is true, you know, and it's good that we take advantage of that too.
Mm.
Because we never know when...
No, I think this is the first time I'm living alone. Technically the first time. I didn't live alone in my apartment in Rome only because my landlord was away for, like, you know, a few weeks. But still, like, you know, this is like, you know, I have to take out the trash and everything. They're all my responsibility and I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I like the fact that I can cook, like, so on weekends I generally cook a lot because that's just fun. And then on weekdays I'm just working and I just heat the food and then sometimes make rice or sometimes just have the puffed rice, you know.
Yeah.
But I need to go buy some more from the Asian shop. I'm out of those.
Yeah.
I've not been to the city center in like 2 weeks or something. Even though I live so close by.
You should go biking.
Yeah. I don't, because the reason I don't go, I think, is because it's downhill whilst going and then I have to come back uphill.
Yeah.
that's too much work. But yeah, this was fun.
It was fun.
Yeah. We should say a proper goodbye.
Okay.
You know, that's what I realized.
Yeah, the last time.
And I think, like, we should also tell our listeners if we have any, like, I don't know, we're in Spotify, we're in SoundCloud, we're in YouTube, we're in Google Music. But I don't know, like, maybe we'll just stick to, like, YouTube or something because it's easier for me. Or SoundCloud or something.
Okay.
Or maybe just SoundCloud and like that. Because I think if I post it in SoundCloud, and there's, like, these things, like, just for, you know, like, just buying a subscription for hosting, like, podcasts is so expensive.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, they're, like, 9-10 euros a month. And I'm like, yeah, I just pay that for Netflix. I can't pay. Like, no, I'm just saying,
but
like...
But how you put...
I think you can do like 3 hours for free or something.
Ah.
So let our 3 hours run. But in YouTube, you don't need to do all of that.
Okay.
You can just put it, you know, like there's no quota system or whatever.
Yeah.
And yeah, maybe like, you know, we could go to our original idea of doing a video podcast. But then we'd have to like, you know, like I have to edit the video and like color it. So that's too much work in itself. But let's see.
Yeah.
But like, I like the fact that we can just put like the photos of Mandarin and then.
Exactly. Yeah. I also
where we like, did.
Well, that. And actually, we not tell like why we call them the Mandarin talk.
Ah, yeah. We call this the Mandarin sessions because we're eating mandarins while talking.
No, it's also because in Nepal. Well, I don't know.
Yeah, you go on because I hate this.
It's kind of difficult to say.
No, because I grew up with this fruit called orange in Nepal.
That is actually a mandarin in all the world.
And then I moved to Europe
world.
And everyone, like whenever I asked for orange, they just gave me some other fruit.
That are oranges.
No, that are mandarins.
So that's how.
So basically, cutting to the chase, like in Nepal, we call mandarin oranges. Right?
Uh-huh.
And I buy a lot of mandarins. I always have mandarins.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Always, like, you know, I have a factory of mandarins.
And those mandarins are the Nepali oranges.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's why.
So I don't know, guys, what do you call.
No, they're
mandarins
oranges.
Then.
No, they're oranges.
But yeah, okay. So that's why we are the.
So it's called Mandarin Sessions. So what should be the title of this podcast? Who's Lu and who's Pragyan? Who's Prag?
Yeah.
Who? Yeah. Let's see.
When
we'll come up with something.
We mumble with other, yeah, talks too. But it's fine.
Yeah.
Cool.
Say goodbye. We need a problem. I don't want to go back home and edit this podcast and be like, oh, we didn't say goodbye. In the last one, we're like, okay, yeah, this was good. And then we stopped.
Okay, well.
Until
should
next
I
time.
Say until next time? To be continued.
Yeah. You know, like, just tune in to listen to our whatever.
Yeah.
Like, we'll talk about something. We'll talk about something sensible next time. Okay, we promise. We'll talk about how to get an Erasmus scholarship and how to get a dad scholarship.
Okay.
Let's talk about that.
Okay.
Maybe some of the people need to hear that.
Okay.
All right.
Okay,
then.
Well, it was nice to talk with you, Rai.
Yeah, it was not nice to talk to you. Still okay. I'm just doing some social service.
Whatever.
All right,
you eat my food in. Go away.
I'm taking the leftovers as well.
Cool. Bye.
Ciao.